Good morning, church. Before we get into reading the Bible verse today, I just wanted to just make a couple of comments on the video you guys just saw. Many of you guys know a few months ago I was in Ethiopia, and all those kids are real. Right? I saw many of those kids on the video I saw when I was there. Many of those kids are truly living a struggle, and it's interesting because when I see some of those kids, I remember some of their stories. For instance, I remember a girl that's up there that was on that video who's literally been forced into marriage at the age of 8. Right? These kids have been through things that we have no idea, that we can never, ever truly understand. And so, you know, when I was thinking about this last night is what I'm going to talk about when after we saw this video, literally I was thinking about multiplication. And I was going to get up here and talk about we're disciples and we should be multiplying. And when we submit our blessings, then blessings flow through others and so forth. And that's very true. I've seen that. I've seen that through myself and others as well. But what God put on my heart the last 10 minutes before I got up here was really to talk about how do we see Jesus through this? You see, like, maybe this should be sales pitching. Like, where are we trying to sales pitch and, like, talk about why we should give and why we should help out these kids? But the real question is, how do we see Jesus in this? And the one thing it made me go back to is seeing the need and meeting the need. If you look at Jesus' life, that's exactly what he did. Whether it was healing someone, getting food for the group, comforting someone, speaking the truth to someone. What we saw Jesus doing throughout his entire life, you can go anywhere in the Bible and just ask yourself, well, how do we see Jesus through this? And what you will see is Jesus saw the need and met the need. And that's what he has called us to do, to see the need and meet the need. And so I ask you guys, even beyond what we're talking about in Christmas in July, and helping out kids who really need it. Like, again, I can talk about it all day long. And the reality is these kids don't have school. They don't go to school unless they have someone like this that support them. And so knowing that, like, it really starts with what's in our hearts. I can sit here and tell you all day long, and you're going to hear in the verses I'm going to read very soon, if you truly believe in the Bible and you know this is the truth. You're going to hear all day long that you can't outgive God. You're going to hear all day long that if you provide when you have plenty, God will provide when you don't have enough, and he will always take care of you. All those truths are real, but it starts here. It really starts here. And so I just ask each of you to think about it for yourself. And as we, you know, Pastor is going to be talking today on the verses we're going to be reading, and we're going to be going through this over the next several weeks. And I just really ask you guys, no matter what situation you're in, none of us are like that. I guarantee you none of us are like that. And probably in the whole United States. And so I just really ask you guys to ask yourself, what's in your heart? Where are you truly at in the walk, in your walk with Christ? Because that's what really matters. That's truly what matters. I will tell you that I had this amazing guy, God just works miracles, create these EHC signs here this weekend in 24 hours. The dude did it in 24 hours. It was amazing. The last night he came here and we were able to put them up. And the idea behind this, and you guys already talked about what we're doing in terms of sponsoring children. There's 21 children that are currently unsponsored in Ethiopia. Now, the interesting part about it is I love the faith of the organization. They're like, we don't know how we're going to do it, but God always provides. That's their faith. Like, it's so crazy. Like, sometimes it's hard for me to speak with them on it because I'm like, all right, we need a plan. God will provide, right? And that's their way of looking at it, and I love it, right? But God works through others to provide, and we're those others, right? And so one of the things that we want to do is really make sure that we step up as a church and take on those 21 sponsorships. And we're gonna talk more about it. Randy's gonna talk more about that. But one of the things that we've done is, as you can see behind us, there's 21 bulbs up in here, right? 21 bulbs. And And in those, each of those bulbs represent one of the sponsorships. So Patricia chose one of the kids for us today. Her name is Bethlehem. I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name. But she is 11 years old, and this is one of the kids that we're going to sponsor. All right? And so, I don't know if we're the first or not. There are probably others. But I'm going to turn on one of these bulbs because every single child we sponsor, we're going to turn on one of those bulbs. And why are we doing that? It's to represent the light of Christ. And we can actually bring light into other people's lives. It's not just about support. It's about discipleship. It's about sharing God's word. And so, what we would like to see is all of these lights brightened up, lightened up. And we're going to change so many people's lives, not just those directly, but those indirectly. As those kids get opportunities to grow and to share God's word, imagine how many people, and how many people's lives they touch. And so again, I just want to encourage you guys to really ask yourself what's here. Don't do it for just to do it because it looks cool. You got to ask yourself what is in your heart and where is Jesus at in that. So with that, I want you guys to turn to 2 Corinthians 8:1-15. We're going to read verses 1-15. All right, it says in 2 Corinthians 8, starting at verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflown in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now, finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's purpose. Lord Father, we thank you, Lord. We love you. We see your grace, your mercy, and just your love, your overabundance of love to us, Lord. We ask you, Lord Father, as we listen to the word today, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts. Help us examine our hearts and understand Are we following where Christ is leading us? Lord, help us see that Jesus is in the center of our lives and that we are making decisions, Lord Father, not of this world, but of eternal purposes. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much, Peter, and I appreciate you being a part of bringing this to our church family. We know that the Lord is in the different things that we experience, and whenever you went and experienced this, I believe that was for our church family to get involved, and so we're excited about that. So let me just share with you very quickly. I am going to be going through some things, but I had a little bit of a back and forth in my head. In my mind, I thought to myself, the struggle was kind of balancing two things. This is what's coming towards the end of today's message. At the end of today's message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and to sponsor a child. And so I had in my mind, well, we could have people choose to do that. But you probably have noticed a few different times recently whenever we've come and we've had the opportunity to take communion. There's something special about coming forward and taking it rather than just having it brought to you, right? You would all agree. It just feels a little different. It feels like a little bit of a giving of yourself. I remember as I've talked to different people, they talked about, oh, I'm married to that woman. I walked the aisle and everything and pledged before God and everyone that I would be a part of her life and that she would be my wife and I'd be faithful, you know, all that stuff. And so there's something about walking the aisle. And so towards the end of today's message, what we're going to do is we're going to just give us an opportunity to make that commitment. Because it truly is not about just these kids. It is about the Lord. And so we're going to ask you to walk the aisle. But we're not going to do this as a show. We're not trying to show out or make sure that people see that we're doing it or others are not. That's not at all the point. And so towards the end, we're going to literally ask everybody to bow their head and just take a few moments to be praying for these kids as well as praying for the church itself to expand in our world. But we're also going to give you the opportunity to come forward and to grab one of these names off these trees because these are real kids with real needs that are really not getting met right now. And so we want to be a part of that. And I want to just be very clear. This passage of Scripture, you can go back and read it if you like in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul was in no way trying to strong-arm somebody. He was no way trying to manipulate anybody. He was doing none of that stuff. But what he was doing is he said, I want to give you the opportunity to be a part of blessing, a part of God's family. And we're talking about the church, and we're introducing the church, and the whole concept and the idea of the church is that this is not the church. I mean, you're sitting in a church, but this is not the church. The church goes way past our walls. It goes way past what we do here, and it's more than just meeting our needs. A huge percentage of the things that we receive go out to other ministries, whether it's in Waco, or whether that's in Sapporo, Japan, or whether that's in, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the city in France, but we serve a couple of different ministries and support them every single month. We don't talk about every place that we give. But we are constantly giving. It's done behind the scenes. So every dollar that you give is going over and above what we're doing here in this church. We constantly support Randall University. We do that so that the next generation has somebody to preach and to lead and to teach. And all of these things are getting done whenever you give. But there is something different about especially taking care of widows and orphans. And in many ways, we do that on our time down that we give to those kids across the border in Mexico, in Piedras Negras. But there is also something beautiful about giving all the way around the world in Ethiopia, a place that Peter visited and saw some extreme need. And so we want to be a part of that. I'm not manipulating you. I'm not strong-arming you. I'm not shaming you. I am giving you an opportunity to become more of a giver and to meet a need that really needs to get met. So I'm going to talk about that. Because the church is about us meeting one another's needs, not just simply our own. Now, let's do this. Colin, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and just skip through what I had initially intended, just simply because of time. But let's go back to where we were. We talked about from last week, we said the church is where you have both a family and a function. We're going to talk more about the function next week as we talk about your part and your spiritual gifts that God gives you. But just know that you are a part of not only this church family, but also you're a part of the church family of churches that you've never been to. I love that Addis Ababa, the capital city there in Ethiopia, has a church there that we're aware of. They have 65 different nations represented in that congregation of that church. Just to give you an idea, we have about 21 or 22 here. And this is crazy considering the size of this church and just where people from everywhere, all different nations, first and second generation, here in this church body, they have three times more diversity than we do. That's literally about a third of the nations on earth represented in that one church. They're a part of us, and we're a part of them. We're a part of the church universal. And so we're a part of that family as they are with us. But we have a function to play here in this specific area where God has led us. Now, very quickly, don't miss this. The capital C church is the church universal. The little c church is us as a local body. And also the church is the place where we meet and we sit down and we meet inside these same four walls. So it's all of these different things. So don't miss it. Understand that there's different parts of the church. But when I refer to the capital C church, that is me referring to the church universal that stretches all the way back to Christ. Whenever he inaugurated that church, as he said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you, etc. He said to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we know that this is all connected and all has tissue all the way back 2,000 years and will stretch into eternity. When this world has passed, the church will still exist and survive because the church is not an organization, it is an organism. It is alive, it is powerful, and it is happening because God's Spirit enlivens it and quickens it and keeps it alive. Can I get an amen so far? Amen? Oh, are y'all want me to go back to the beginning? I didn't think so. Can I get an amen? Oh, Colin's jumping. He's like, I'll take you back to the beginning. No, don't do that to me, Colin. They will never forgive me. All right, so very quickly, let's go to slide number 7, if you don't mind. And then, actually, we're going to go right here. Paul's first missionary journey is right here. And I just want to share with you, he's writing to the believers in Corinth. You can see right here this place. And he's talking about the people in Philippi and in Thessalonica and Berea because they're the people from Macedonia. Now, I want to be very clear. Down there at the bottom right, you can see the red arrow to Jerusalem. There's about 1,000 miles that separate the folks there in Corinth and the folks there in Jerusalem. There's about 1,000 miles of Mediterranean Sea. It's literally months worth of travel just to go. But here's what's powerful. These people that had never actually met the people in Jerusalem wanted to help meet their needs because they said to themselves and to Paul, they are a part of the body of Christ. And now that I have accepted Christ, I want to help to meet their needs as a part of the body. And here, just let me keep going here. When they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me to the Gentiles. When James and Peter, in the Hebrew language there, he and Paul, he shared with John, and as we keep moving here, they seemed to be pillars, but to receive the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and Benny, so I should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. All of this, what is it talking about? It's his way of saying there are folks out there that need help. There are folks there that are in Jerusalem and they need somebody to care for their needs. We will take on that responsibility. Now, let's keep moving here and share this with you. The Apostle Paul had a collection from God's people, and you can look that up. There's the AI there. It's a major fundraising campaign across Gentile churches to help the poor, persecuted Jewish believers in Jerusalem. And let me share this with you. In the years between 41 and 54 A.D., during the reign of Caesar Claudius, Jerusalem and the surrounding region of Judea experienced a severe drought and a severe famine. This hardship in a largely agrarian society put the church in Judea, likely made up almost exclusively of Jewish Christians, in serious financial and physical need. Paul had spoken of their hardships to other parts of the church, capital C, and the local church bodies in Europe began to volunteer to collect money to help the fellow believers in Asia. This is why I shared with you this information very specifically worded. I want you to notice, if you notice in that passage of Scripture I just read from Galatians, what was he saying? There were the circumcised and the uncircumcised. There were the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. And there was this change in the fellowship of the believers in the church, because ultimately it started as nothing but Jews who believed in Jesus as the Messiah. They lived the way that Jews lived. They sounded like Jews. They looked like Jews. They were Jews. They acted like Jews. But then suddenly, as the Word of God and the church began to expand, it began to include people who spoke Greek and Latin instead of Hebrew. And they began to look different and sound different and dress different. And their way of growing up and the things that they believed to be okay to do was different than these folks. They were the circumcised and the uncircumcised. There was a change and like a wall of hostility between these two. Are you guys with me? So here we go. These folks are in need. These folks have more than enough. And Paul says, these folks that were like our spiritual parents, they're our spiritual fathers, they are in desperate need. The easy thing for these folks over here to say is, well, they're not like us. Well, they're the ones who didn't actually want the Bible to be told to us. They didn't want us to be included in the Scriptures and in the church itself. But that's not exactly, it's like the exact opposite instead. They volunteered and they said, if they're in need, they're a part of this body, and we want to meet the need. They volunteered for it. Paul spoke about it, and they raised their hand and said, no, no, we'll take care of it. There's a need, we'll do it. There's a church that is in need, we'll be a part of reaching it. Are you guys with me? And so what's happening here is very, very important. And here's our big idea. The church is a body, and we must care for our body. The church is a body, and we must care for our body. Now, here's what I want to share with you. How many of you know that if you have something that's dying on your body, that you need to get that taken care of right now, because otherwise it could spread and it could be literally fatal to your health? That God's Word never accidentally draws comparisons. Whenever He says, you are a part of the body, He's saying that you and I are affected by things and people we will never see. As we believe people to be a part of the body of Christ, if we're not meeting their need, if we're not helping to meet their need, then there is a part of the body of Christ that is weakened, and will continue to weaken the other parts that are not being served. You understand what I'm saying? And so for us, we volunteer to meet these needs, because ultimately, the body of Christ being strong makes us stronger. That is true for us in every area of health. And so as we today talk about this, we're meeting needs of people that we will never see until we walk into heaven. And they are there, and they say, thank you for giving to the Lord, not because you had met me, but because you were a part of the body of Christ. Now, it is so easy for our world to look outside and look at us and judge and say, they're no different than we are. This is the very kind of thing that when we take it on and we pay for somebody's needs to be met that we will never meet, that no one will ever say thank you, that we will never look at those things being met, and yet we know that these people are being faithful, and they're teaching not only the things in the schools, but they're also teaching them the Word of God. We're pulling them out of the landfill that they are working in for their daily jobs. Like, this is the kind of thing that you cannot argue with, and you cannot say it's not real whenever we see God's body saying, they're Christians, they're a part of our body, we're meeting their needs because God's body meets the needs of God's body. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so we have to say that we look at things different than others do. And church is a body, we must take care of our body. Now, very quickly, I just want to share with you, I'm going to keep moving because it's very important that we grasp. The very believers of Jerusalem, known as the circumcised, had among them men who were against Gentiles becoming believers in Christ. It was racism against any non-Jew. And yet, the brand new Gentile believers volunteered to give joyfully and generously to those people anyway. Y'all, if y'all understand it, you should just kind of wave at me real quick. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so what does this mean? This means this is one more of those ways that the people outside the church look at the church and go, something different about them. Not those that would meet the needs of those that they love. Not those that meet the needs of those that sound just like us, look just like us, act just like us, or approve of us in everything that we do. That ultimately, we are a part of the body. That means imperfect people loving, serving, and meeting the needs of other imperfect people. And so we see this example. And Paul writing in his words to those that are in the Corinthian church, he's saying, you guys, you volunteered. You begged me, in fact, so that you could be a part of meeting these needs. And I want you to know it is being a blessing and it's making a difference and an impact. All right. Now, I just don't have enough time to go through everything, but let me just share with you. I want you to know that it is difficult for us to follow through on the things that we know we should do. But here is that passage of Scripture that was just shared by Peter, and it spoke to me. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also had a desire to do it. What is he saying? He's saying, a year ago, you wanted to do this. And you started to do this. But now it's been a year, and now we're about to get to the finish line. Let's cross the finish line. Let's not just almost give. Let's give. Let's not just halfway do it. Let's go all the way across the finish line where we say, where the rubber meets the road, and actually we have to take out our wallet and say, I'm going to give so that these kids can go to a school. I'm going to give so that these kids can be a part of learning about Christ. This is crossing that finish line. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the Bible is very clear. They had the same things that we have. We have these starting twos and wanting twos and desire twos, but then we have to cross the finish line. We have to cross the finish line. And so he says, finish doing it as well so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Now, I'm going to just, 99, I'm ringing. Can you turn everything else down but me, please? If you would, I want you to consider something that's been on my mind and on my heart. For most of us, the thing that stands in the way of us giving is that we know that we can spend that money elsewhere. But what we have to realize is that for most of us, we are literally spending on our next great thing or extravagance, where we know that there's a part of the body of Christ that literally might not eat or eat in a healthy way, in any way, shape, or form, or be educated if we don't participate. I'm not trying to poke you in the chest. I'm poking myself in the chest because, trust me, my Amazon account, I have stuff on the front porch that I don't even know what I ordered when it gets there. I have so much stuff that I got to clear out my stuff for the other stuff that I bought. Why? Why should one part of the body have all of this abundance and the other part have such lack and there to be no connection? You see, that's what Paul's saying. You can go back and read 2 Corinthians. I'm not here to guilt you. I'm not here to shame you. I'm not here to do any of that stuff, but I'm here to call it out. We are not called to live in incredible extravagance and let other people that we know of, that we know have a good situation that could be blessed by us, to be undone because I don't want to say, okay, I'll make a sacrifice. I'll make that change. I'll make the decision to go in a better direction. And so I just encourage you, if the Lord is speaking to you, if the Lord is laying it on your heart, I want you to give. I want you to look within, as Peter had said, and just make the decision. You know what? If I know that I'm a part of the body of Christ, if I know that ultimately one part of the body suffering eventually makes its way back to the other parts of the body, then I want the body to be whole and good and healthy. And I want to do my part. And I'll just say as I end, we give away, we spend, or we invest when it comes to our money. I think sometimes we give it away, like when we don't pay attention to the subscriptions that we have for three different services of streaming that we've never even looked at, right? Or we kind of spend it on good things, bad things, and everywhere in between. But this is an investment. This is truly an investment where we say, you know what? This could change a kid's life. This could change the entire destiny of this kid's life. And so because of that, I'm going to give. Now, very quickly, I want to just share some things with you. And I'm just moving so fast here. Christmas in July. This is what we do. Why? Because we want to be givers. We want to serve and we want to share Christ. We'll never meet them, but we're being a part of that. We're educating and supporting the families. We're preparing and doing discipleship with them. We have 21 children that are sponsored, $75, one child each month. And I know that that is not as inexpensive, but this is often being a part of supporting the entire family. So please go ahead and make that decision and choice to give. These pictures, these names, these kids are children that are already sponsored, but these are children that are in need of sponsorship. And one of them has already been picked up by Peter. I'm going to walk over here and I'm going to choose this one right here. And this will be Shelly's and mine. So Peter, why don't you just get up there and turn one more bulb, if you don't mind. And there are others that are going to do that now, not to be seen, not to be pressured, but just simply make a decision. If you want to walk this aisle and say, this is my gift not only to Marchette, but maybe it's also the gift to the Lord that says, you know what, Lord, you've blessed me, and I want to be a blessing. So I'm going to ask the worship team to just come forward, and they're going to go ahead and maybe just play some music in the background. And I want everybody, if you would, please, to just bow your heads for a few moments. And I don't want to take too long. I'm not going to sit here until every one of these is gone, because this is something that we're doing over the next couple of weeks. But today, maybe today you already know, you know, I know the Lord's speaking to me, and I know that I need to be a part of this. And so while no one's looking, and this is your decision and your choice and your way of saying, Lord, I'm obeying what you're laying on my heart, maybe you want to come and you want to grab one of these and put them on your refrigerator and be praying for them and be supporting them and maybe change a life for eternity's sake. Heavenly Father, just use us, Lord. Help us to be people who reflect your heart. Help us to be people who reflect your value and your values. And dear God, I pray that you would make us a blessing. You have blessed us immeasurably. I pray that we would be a blessing. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.